Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Easy Emotion, Easy Old Soul. Checking in with you guys again. Decided to do a show tonight. And I think for me, it's going to be a pretty good one. Talk a little longer than I usually do. Got it set up for a little longer. And eventually, try to get Kaden back on. You know, he's been a little busy. This weekend, this is his birthday weekend. So I'm mad at him. He got to do some stuff. So I'm going to check back in with him most likely this week. And we're going to try some stuff happen. But still going to give y'all a show. Still going to make it the best show I can. And always check the channel. Appreciate the people that come on and just listen. So if you ever want to come on the show, please let me know. You can hit me up at Facebook. .com/BroLivesRadio. Twitter, you know, .com/BroLivesRadio. And we also do the blog talk, which I'm currently on, and that's /BroLivesRadio. Still looking to get the YouTube up, but I'm going to work on that. But tonight, I'm going to come to y'all and talk about a few things that I've seen just today on Netflix, and got me thinking I should do a show about it. I was going to do a video, but I decided to do a show just to talk to y'all. And so, pretty much, my girl was sitting there, was watching Netflix in the morning, and I ran across this movie. Literally, all I be doing is watching like American Dad and stuff like that. And I know she can get tired of that after a while, so I decided to watch something else. And so we were watching TV, and after I finished up an episode, I decided to just go, look through the selection of movies that they have. Stuff like that, other TV shows, and ran across this movie, and it was a pretty good one. I'm assuming that Netflix brought it up to it. It had the Netflix symbol, so I'm going to say it's a Netflix original from 2014, but I'm assuming how they do it is they just, they re-release it again, and, in case people want to watch it, because just in case, they ever get to the feel of the movies and stuff like that. But nonetheless, the movie was called Imperial Dreams. And for those of you, if you've never seen it, it's pretty much about a young black, African-American guy. He gets out of prison. And he comes back home to, of course, majority of the usual, back to the streets. I believe they was in Cali. Looks like maybe Watts, maybe not. I'm not sure. But either way it go, he comes back home, of course. And his kid is currently staying with his uncle. Now, when he comes back, of course, he was in the street life, so nobody's expecting him to do anything different. His uncle is of course, OG Bobby Johnson. If you've seen South Central, that was, that's that man from that movie. He's the OG in this movie. He's selling drugs and stuff like that. He got him a little crew. And, of course, the guy coming back home, he's trying to make do with what he got and change his life. The guy got a son. And OG Bobby Johnson, he really just, look, I need a soldier, it's hot out here. I need you to take ranks, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. The guy also has a brother, and if you remember Dre from Power, he's the brother. He stars in the movie also. He did a pretty good job. He's trying to get into, of course, I think it's either Howard or Harvard, one of the schools. But he's working to get into college, and he's trying to get up out of the hood as well. So the story is set that the guy comes home. He's actually been writing while he was in prison. And the whole goal is to get his writing off the ground. And he was actually published in like a small little book where he was quoted. And I guess because he was just keeping it real. And it's a real feel, so people naturally flocked to the little section that he got. So he tried to get more published. And the thing that got me about the story was when he came home, what happened. Now, most of the time when you come home, people that do come home, and they tell you, it's funny, in jail, before you go to jail, you know, while you're in a squad car, while you, you know, getting checked in, you know, going through the whole, you know, getting your name put in the system, and, you know, if you're a repeat offender, everybody knowing you, everybody seeing you, everybody saying the same thing. You always hear cops, other people tell you, you can do better in life. You know, why don't you do better in life? I don't understand why you keep wanting to come in here. I don't understand why you keep coming in here. It makes no sense. You know, the whole nine, to give you the whole nine and a rundown as if, you know, you don't already know these things if you're a repeat offender. And you're trying to do something different with your life. So, in the movie, he gets out and, first thing he does is he goes and to his uncle's house, and you know, of course, he hangs with his child. His child barely knows him, but you know, he gets to know him again. You know, his child is there, his uncle is there, his mom is currently living with his uncle. She's a junkie. You know, so there's that problem with the man. Like, his mom's a junkie. That was never really there for him. Uncle is a hustler. His dad, I'm assuming, was hustling with his uncle and got killed. He wasn't there as a youngin'. So he comes back home planning on taking care of his son. That was the main goal throughout the movie. One of the first things he did, he went to see his girl, who was currently in jail in the movie. That was Kiki Palmer. She played a pretty decent role. She was in jail for, I'm assuming, like check fraud or something like that, or food stamp fraud. She quoted that she was trying to just feed, you know, their son, and she had to do what she had to do. And so these things happen. So she's in jail. He's hard pressed. The next thing he does is he goes to see his parole officer. And the first thing a parole officer says is, what'd you do to go to the pen? What'd you do to go to prison? He tells him, assault with a deadly weapon. You know what I'm saying? And then the PO says, okay, the first thing we got to do is you got to get a job immediately. Now, for all you that don't know, I'm not much on the law. I used to be. I actually don't want to be a judge. That might still be in the works, but I never. Now, if you know anybody, everybody's almost hiring. Almost everybody's hiring. Any and everybody's hiring. So, the man hears that, And he's like, all right, so I got to get a job. But just to know what he went to jail for, or what he went to the prison for, the last offense is assault with a deadly weapon. People see that on your resume, they're not going to hire you. They're not going to hire you because they're going to think you're dangerous. And this is just my point of view, so people just don't go off deep in like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And no, I feel like that's what's going to happen. People are going to see that. Yeah, we don't have any spots open or anything like that, which is pretty much what he kept getting constantly. He went out and he tried to look for jobs. But, you know, as people always say, if you want to rehabilitate, you actually got to give the people a chance. You know what I'm saying? If the man is out looking for a job, it's most likely not to scam you, but it's hard to believe that he won't try to scam you. So I get it. And that's one of the hardest things to come back from. It's one of the hardest things that you actually going to try to get a job after, you know, what you got on your record. That's the hard thing, you know, and he's a black man trying to make it. So he still pursues it. He still tries to get a job. He's telling people, clean up, you know. He's told the deacon of a church he'll clean up for, you know, whatever he can give him, you know. As usual, you know, if I can get anything, you know, you need, I'll do it. That's what he was out there doing. Yeah, for me, it's like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, he's trying. He also went to, you know, I think temp agencies and work programs to get back on his feet. Now, there's a saying in there where he goes to, I believe, a work program, and they say, you know, pretty much they got a slogan where they're saying, we get your work. He goes in there, and, of course, he's telling them, look, I need a job. Now, the company says he needs your license. If you had your license, that'd be pretty good. He's like, well, you know, I'm in the process of trying to get my license. I ain't got it yet, but I still need work. You know, can you help me out? The lady's like, if without your license, there's not much we can do. If you have a license, we could help you go further. He's like, all right, you know what I'm saying? He pointed him into a place where he could get, you know, his license again. He, of course, he's going to go get his license. Now, he decides he's going to get his license back. And once he decides that, he goes to, you know, DMV and stuff like that. And he's like, I'm here to get my license. You know, he got whatever little paperwork he can. They look him up. And they're like, you owe us $15,000 in child support. And since you owe that money, you can't get your license. And the guy says, okay, one, how do I owe $15,000 in child support? You know, then he says, look, I need my license, man. And he's like, can't get your license until you pay the child support. He's like, look, I'm going to need my license to get a job. So here's the thing for me. Here's the issue. How is it that I owe $15,000 in child support? I'm trying to get a job. I need my license to get a job to pay back the $15,000 in child support. And you can't help me out. And the guy says, yeah, I know, you know, it sounds silly to me, too. So you hear that, you know, that ridiculous amount a person has to pay in child support. You know, he's been gone. He's been in prison. Now he's trying to get back to, you know, the real world, trying to get rehabilitated. And this guy has the nerve to tell him that he owes $15,000. And until he gets that, he's never going to get his license back. So that's a issue he had, and he's upset about, because I would be upset about that as well. But he tries not to get too upset, but the guy gives him something that says maybe they'll you know, they're either reduce the debt or close out the debt altogether. So he takes that, and you know, he just say like, man, I gotta live with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's this is difficult, but I gotta live with it. So after that, he goes and picks up his son, and of course, his son got hurt while he was out. You know, he was being watched by his brother, but his brother didn't do too good of a job. His son ended up getting hurt, and somebody called Child Social Services, and it came out, you know, and made sure, you know, everything was on the up and up. And they was telling him, like, you got to keep him out of trouble. We have to take him from you, of course. So he gets upset about that, because now that's an issue, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's literally living out of his car, actually, but they, you know, they were at a house when it happened, so he was upset about that. And then one of the last things that they had, he was running, pretty much he got to an argument with his uncle about some stuff. He's running because his mom took his son out of the place so she wouldn't get hurt and the son wouldn't get hurt when he was fighting the uncle. So he's running around trying to find his son and his mom because he's worried about what his mom is doing with his son and stuff like that because, of course, she's an addict. Cops pull up. They already was messing with him when he got out of jail. And they pull up on him, and they're like, let's take a little ride. Of course, they put him back in, they put him back in his own, in some old hood that he used to, you know, he probably went to where his cousin did something, you know, terrible. You know, you gotta watch the movie. We can't really explain the whole thing. But they're about to drop him off in that hood. And of course they're telling the guys like he's a rival gang member, you know what I'm saying? So as soon as he get out of car and they leave, whatever happens to him happens to him. So he has that problem. And then he finally tells the cop, like, I'm out here, I'm looking for my son, my mom got him, she's a fucking crackhead, you know, I'm out here trying to live my life, I'm trying to get my life together, and y'all out here fucking with me. And that was one of the most powerful sentences I've ever heard in my life. So, long story short, they drop him back off and let him find his son. But, you know, of course, they had to call services on him again to let him know that, you know, he's actually sleeping out of his car, and they end up taking his son away. It ends with him and his son, him being able to see his son, and he took his son swimming. So, I think anybody who is this should go watch the movie, Imperial Dreams, on Netflix. Definitely go check out the movie. And thing for me was, and, you know, few of the homies can vouch for this, K-Down can vouch for this, there's been times where the cops have fucked with me, and I'm just living my life, you know what I'm saying? Like, the cops have fucked with us so many times, and we not criminals. And granted, that man in that movie was trying so hard to do the right thing, and it was so hard for him not to go back to doing the wrong things. And that's the problem that I be having with society, you know, as far as today, treating, how they treat African American men, you know what I'm saying? They say they want you to be really rehabilitated, you know, and fix your life and stuff like that, but you don't get as many opportunities as you should. And one thing that really touched me was, of course, the cops are grabbing them, taking them to an opposite neighborhood, and, you know, pretty much saying, like, you know, he from here and y'all from here, and, you know, y'all should have an issue, because that's almost happened to me before, you know, and Ryan can vouch for this story. That almost happened to us, where cops were threatening to take us to a neighborhood where there was gangs, and, you know, of course, tell them, man, this, you know, this a rival set over here, and the guys out here don't give a fuck. You would think they'd be smart enough to know, oh, that ain't no rival gang motherfucking around here. Or, you know, they won't even tell you. They just drop you off in a neighborhood, and hopefully somebody think you another, you know, opposite gang member because they never seen you before or whatever. So it hit home, Because, I mean, these guys were serious. You know, they were talking shit. They were like, you know, how about we drop you off, take everything you got, and, you know, you'll be in a neighborhood where there's gangmen. So pretty much saying, like, we could drop you off somewhere where you get killed, and we don't care. They were already trying to kill us, you know what I'm saying? And in most instances, they pulled a gun on my homie Ryan. He can, like I said, he can tell you the story of it. And when, you know, we were just saying, like, we were just playing, you know, it was all for fun, you know. We know the guy, you know, that the issue was with, you know, which was K-Down. They gave us an even harder time when he pulled up and told them the truth, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I know these guys. They're my friends, you know what I'm saying? We out here. We ain't knowing nothing. You know, of course, K-Down, he don't like the police, so he gonna act like an asshole. But it wasn't nothing that we was doing to really rile these guys up, but they were ready and willing to take us out at any moment, you know what I'm saying? And that hit home. It's like, man, you know, so much happens out here to African-American men that it don't help us. And I hate, you know, seeing us having to struggle so much and having so many problems with this world and the world treating us as if we don't mean anything. It's such an issue to me. But, you know, we got to live with it sometimes. And to say that, I'm sorry the story was so long, but I say that, and then I ended up watching a movie, the movie of Will Ferrell, the Everything Must Go movie where he lost his job, and pretty much it was a domino effect for him. Once he lost his job, he lost his house, he lost his wife, he lost his crib, you know, the whole nine. Now, for me, it still didn't resonate as he had too many issues, you know, because he was still fairly good. That was the one thing that I definitely do know. Like, all right, he was still good. They let him keep his house, or they let him stay at his house. You know, even though he was living on the line, they let him stay at his house, amongst other things. And he just got more than what a black man would get if he came home. And so yeah, I was saying, for me, those things kind of mesh, and you see the outcome in different ways. You see the outcome for a black man rather than an outcome for a white man. Now, although that man didn't go to jail, he was an alcoholic, and there was some stuff that happened with Will Ferrell, whatever the fuck you call it. They kind of put it in a space of, yeah, it should be something that should be paid attention to. He should go to jail for it. But he didn't. You know what I'm saying? He got a sponsor, and he ended up being all good. Bottom line, you didn't have to struggle as much as the black man coming back home from prison, trying to get his life together. And that happens often. You know what I'm saying? We looked at as the guys who, you know, affirmative action kind of covers us now, or covered us since it started. And now it's not really even covering us that much because you got a lot of minorities out here waiting for jobs. So just seeing these two movies, it was a long day. It was definitely two different coach clashes, and then just watching it brought up so many different memories, so many things that I remember, and the reason why I wanted to do things different in my life, you know. When I almost went to jail, that definitely made me want to change my life. Not even the fact that I was going to jail, it's just the fact that I was wronged as a man, and it didn't matter that I didn't do anything wrong. It just, only thing that mattered was the law in that case. And whether they see me as wrong or not, whether I was right or not, it didn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It did not matter. It just was, hey, you did this thing, you could possibly go to jail. And it was like, so even if I'm not a criminal, I could go to jail. And that's dangerous. It just killed me. You know what I'm saying? And then I see so many people. I always tell my girl the issue I have, because she got me in the whole watch team, mom too, or whatnot. And I tell her the reason I have an issue with Janelle, who which is one of the main ones on the show, is because she always gets off easy. Nobody ever puts the hammer down on her for the stuff that she does. And the funniest part is she creates more havoc than most black men do out here, but she gets caught, and Callie gives her a slap on the wrist. And I say, yeah, if you ever want to see how unfair it is out here for black men in this society, or just black spirit in this society versus whites, go check out that show. This girl has 13 charges on her record and still is living a high life. Anybody with some of the charges that she has would have been, any black person with some of the charges that she had would have been, you know, in jail already. And it's just some of the stuff that we have to deal with. And I'm not saying that it's great. I'm not saying I should just be complaining. And I'm not trying to complain. I'm just saying people don't take a look at the lives of a black man, the lives of a black woman. You know, people don't see us as having hard lives, regardless of what state of mind we're in, regardless of where we work, regardless of how hard we work. People don't see that we have the issues that we have. And with that, those issues will never be addressed. People will spend their life trying to avoid addressing the issues that we have rather than actually trying to do something about the issues that we have. You are trying to help us with the issues that we have. And that's the crazy part for me. Of course, you know, see if I can get my homie Jimmy on talk a little more about some of the issues that go on in these urban neighborhoods and stuff like that. But I just want to touch on that movie because it was a very, very good movie. Both of those movies are pretty good movies, and I had fun watching them. I had fun. It definitely gave me a different experience on things. So I just wanted to touch on those movies. But I'm going to come back to y'all tomorrow and get y'all a pretty good show. Of course, I'm always trying to do my best to get y'all a great show. But I'm going to check out now. I just wanted to talk to y'all about that. I just wanted to tell y'all about the movies. Go check those two movies out. I know they're old, but go check them out. They're definitely a good movie to see. As always, man, I hope y'all have a great night, great morning. Hope everybody wake up in the morning. And I'm going to get out of here. You know, Brotherhood, Live at Sports Radio, you know, check us out. Facebook.com, Twitter.com/BroLivesRadio, and the same for BlogTalkRadio.com/BroLivesRadio. You know, we got more to come. So this is Easy Most Known, Easy Most Unknown, Easy Known. I'm messing up. This is Easy Most Known, Unknown, Easy Also. And I'm going to check out with y'all. All right.